polite.
Good morning.
Good morning to you. Good morning. Good morning. It's great to stay up late. Good morning. Good morning to you.
This is WPTF Radio, Raleigh, North Carolina, and I'm Reese Edwards.
Hello, everybody. Atlantic Coast Conference Tournament basketball is on the air. This is Wally Ausley.
This is Bill Jackson speaking.
Hello, everybody. Welcome now to Sportsline. Gary Dornberg with you.
I'm Tony Rixby, WPTF News.
Hello, this is Charles Kuralt, CBS News, on WPTF in Raleigh.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome back to Carolina Newsmakers. I'm Don Curtis.
Hello, friends. This is Bill Friday, WPTF in Raleigh.
I'm Rufus Adbiston on the Weekend Gardener.
Now, here is your moderator, Tom Campbell.
Thanks for watching this week's NC-SPIN.
Now, here is Dave Kaiser.
Hi, y'all. Well, that's good.
This is Art Devine.
This is Robert St. John in the NBC Newsroom in New York.
The Monitor edition of News of the World.
Debnam views the news. And now, here is Mr. Debnam.
Good afternoon, everyone.
Yours truly, Sam Beard,
and Jim Reed,
and Carl Gert.
Thank you, Sam, and greetings to all of our listeners.
This is Harriet Presley, WPTF in Raleigh, North Carolina.
Wayne Edda is standing by now with a check of the latest news.
WPTF News presents Regional Report, a digest of late happenings throughout the area.
This is Bill Ellis.
This is Jimmy Capps. For the nocturne, we send as our best.
This is Bill Hope.
This is Warren Barfield with Kingham Scott at the organ and a program of familiar carols.
Good morning, this is Phil Franklin.
And this is J.C. Knowles with the North Carolina Collection on WPTF.
I'm Mike Blackman, WPTF News.
Good evening, I'm David Sherrill.
This is Robert Hager, WPTF News.
This is Bob Farrington.
Good morning, everybody. Charlie Gaddy here with Ask Your Neighbor.
Mario Dell here.
Fess Parker, our guest this morning here at News Talk 680.
Well, Jack Boston, that was a great introduction.
Hey, everyone, great to have you with us. This is North Carolina's Morning News. I'm Brian Freeman on WPTF.
Hello, I'm your friend Bart Rittner.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to the Bob Butler Show. And this is Ned Champion reporting.
And here is Carl Venters.
WPTF is the voice that shares with its neighbors what it's like to be living the life of Raleigh.
This is Charles Osgood wishing Mike Raley and Ann Clapp congratulations on the anniversary of WPTF's Weekend Gardener program.
This is Donna Mason on 680 WPTF.
And I'm Dick Stork in the WPTF. WPTF Record Vault. Good morning to you.
Tom Kearney here.
Johnny Hood on the Southern Farm Network.
Well, howdy, everybody. I'm Hap Hansen.
I'm Marlon Bowling reporting.
I'm Ann Clapp.
And this is a Tar Heel Gardener saying, keep them growing.
The Weekend Gardener, Mike Rayling here, along with Rufus Edmondson. We're at Handpick Nursery. We have visitors from all over, including Fayetteville, and they bring their own chairs. His entourage brought their own chairs too, but they're not here. They brought them just in case they sat down.
I think they're out there at the food trucks.
What kind of food? Because I'm sure you're out there.
I saw all kinds.
Oh, good.
I saw about five at one time, and they don't have any peanuts like we've got here from our dear friend
Dean.
Dean.
These are Hampton Farms. I haven't seen these. But they're from a place near Roanoke Rapids and Murfreesboro up in Peanut Country, Severn or something like that, well, North Carolina. They look good. Yeah, I know you've been studying them. You can bust them open if you want to.
Well, I think that'll make a little bit too much noise.
No, go ahead.
S-E-V-E-N, North Carolina.
We might all want a peanut.
Hampton Farms.
Sven, North Carolina? Is that what that?
Seven.
Seven.
So it's got an R in it, hasn't it?
No, it's S-E-V-E-N.
Oh, well, that's...
Seven.
That's it's near Murfreesboro and Roanoke Rapids. It's east of there.
Okay.
Up in Catfish Hunter country. So Craig LaHoulier is with us from a renowned author and tomato guy from the Hendersonville area. Craig? How you doing this morning, buddy?
I am doing great. How are you two doing?
We're at a very unique nursery here near Benson, Handpick Nursery. They have a menagerie of animals, and they have food trucks, and they have plants all over the place. In fact, the owner planted a field of tulips, just gorgeous tulips, and it, I don't know how many acres. It looks like Michigan over there. So he all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, it looked like we were over in Holland somewhere.
Yeah, so people, I think about tomatoes year round. they can't get good tomatoes except in the summer usually. But what in the world have you been doing with your tomatoes, tomato plants? I'm sure you started everything by seed, didn't you?
Yeah, I start things right around March 1st, and I woke up this morning because my weather app said it was going down to 40, and it said 32.9. So my little
wow, it got kind of chilly up there.
It got chilly, and you know I'm kind of a glutton for punishment because I'm on my deck, and the pollen count is so high here. So if my
yeah, it is here.
A little scratchy, it's rough.
Oh, well, welcome to the club.
Oh, man. But now the plants are up and growing. My goal in Hendersonville, even given that every season, this is our fifth year gardening here, and every season is a little different. But if I get them out by May 1st, then I start picking tomatoes the first week of July. And that takes us pretty much through the end of August. Short season here because of a very heavy disease pressure, much more so than in Raleigh.
Yeah. Wow, that's interesting, Rufus.
Well, that's what I always tell people about growing up in Boone, Greg.
Yeah.
Never put anything out before the 1st of May because it's mm-hmm. it's going to snow or something.
Yeah.
And have you had any snow this year in Hendersonville?
We have had the second consecutive year of not a flake.
Oh, my goodness. Isn't
yeah,
that something?
It's been a little bit weird, but it's we've had our share of rain. We've had our share of cold. And, man, when it rains. But maybe this is like Boone, Rufus. When it gets beautiful for days
oh, man,
and days and days.
Like it.
So it's pretty interesting.
By the way, I've always assumed that you have a pretty large greenhouse to start your seeds in.
Yeah, do you have greenhouses on your property?
I have no greenhouse, and I never have. I do everything on a sunny windowsill with heat mats, and then I ease them out into the sun. And it
must have a lot of windows.
Actually, I have a few grow lights, but I pretty much use the sun. And,
wow.
Start them in filtered sun as long as it's over 40 degrees, and we warm up pretty fast here. We're, you know, if I look on the weather app again, and I don't know whether to believe it or not, we may be done with frost. But, you know, maybe is always the key word, of course. So May 1st is still the date for me, another month.
Well, I'm amazed that as many varieties of tomatoes that you grow, Craig, that you didn't have a greenhouse. I know that your friend and ours, Gerald, has a couple
yep.
greenhouses.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And the seeds you sent me, I left them with Gerald
uh-huh.
because I knew he would have a better time to sprout them, and I haven't heard back yet because I'm very anxious to see what you sent me.
Yeah, and to let people know, there are two varieties I named after Rufus. One is Rufus Rainbow, which is a tall plant, and the foliage is going to be green and white, variegated, and the tomatoes are going to be about 1 pound and yellow with red streaks, and they're really delicious. And then the other one is going to be called, I think it's called Rufus Striped Red, and it's red with gold stripes on it on a short plant. It's going to be about 3 or 4 feet tall. And, you know, I look forward to hearing. You know, I'm sure Gerald will get the seeds up and you'll get to grow the plants, and then we can kind of kibitz back and forth. You can let me know what you think.
Yeah. I'm gonna feel like a zebra before this thing is over with.
Oh, you got swirls and stripes, so there you go.
So what should people be doing now if they have grown or bought plants? Because they're starting to sell plants around here. We've established that probably you shouldn't plant them right now because it's April 15th is kind of the average last frost around
sure.
here. And, you know, in a, after this week, let's see, not this week, but the next week, I think we're projected to have some fairly chilly weather, at least at night. So,
yeah. Well, you make a good point. We were at one of the big box stores the other day where they have all the plants, and it was a really warm day, and the woman who checked us out was saying that gardeners are pretty avid and that they come in and they buy everything in sight as soon as it gets warm, not realizing that you can get those cold snaps. You know, I've always thought the stores don't mind that because that means you go back and buy more, but you know, maybe that's not the way it goes. So if people have bought their plants, they should be doing kind of what I'm doing, which is if it's a nice day, leave them outside, keep them watered. And that's the big thing, is a lot of times these plants people get have been coddled in a greenhouse, and they haven't been exposed to the direct sun and the wind and heavy rains. But those are the things that can really make young seedlings unhappy. So, you know, if it's going to be really cold, if it's going to be really rainy and windy, just bring them in until the weather gets nice, and aim and just watch the weather forecast. You know, gardeners should always watch the weather forecast and not just look in an almanac and trust dates, because things can change very, very quickly. Like I could have lost all my seedlings last night if the temperature dropped 2 more degrees. The older I get, the more risks I take.
You're not supposed to do that. I was reading something the other day, and something on the list was, don't take chances as you get older.
Well, there I go. I guess I just don't read lists. Part of it is I have less people dependent on me now because I'm not really selling seedlings anymore. I guess this is my big news flash, is I am going to plant 12 plants. Down from 70 last year.
Oh, my goodness, man, you have backed off.
Yeah, but I'm going to put one plant each in a straw bale and aim for really careful care of them and see what kind of yields I can push out of them by giving them lots of room and lots of spacing and lots of care. The other thing is, between this and the Veterans Healing Farm, I was responsible for 120 plants there. You know, I turned 68 a few months ago, and I just can't run at the same pace that I've been running, particularly when it gets hot in the summertime. So I'm going to listen to my wife, who is a nurse, and slow down.
Well, that's a good idea. Now, are you lecturing anymore? I know you used to travel the country. I don't think you do that anymore, but I know you're doing stuff by Zoom and on your website too.
Yeah, and you know, when we moved into Hendersonville, COVID is what really knocked me off the road, because so that turned me into a Zoomer and an Instagrammer. But I've been kind of discovered locally now that COVID isn't making people nervous about getting together. So I think this year, by the end of the year, I probably will have done 30 or 35 talks, most of which are local, some of which are Zoom. I've just done Sonoma, California. Next week I'm doing Oregon, Morganton, North Carolina, so Asheville a few. It's been really gratifying to settle in to a role more of a coach and a teacher. And it just makes me feel good to share what I've learned over my 40 years of gardening with other gardeners, so they don't make a lot of the same mistakes that I've done along the way. But of course, gardeners have to make mistakes to learn. So I'm just there to pick them up and dust them off when they do that, explain to them what went wrong, and we'll try something different next year. But I'm having a great time, Mike and Rufus.
How do folks find your give us your website information?
Sure. So it's craiglehoulier.com, craiglehoulier.com. And even more important maybe is the Instagram, which is @nctomatoman, all1word.com. I've actually put examples of all of my talks on a link area on my Instagram. So if people want to see my garden history, my straw bales, my tomato breeding, and my tomato talks, I've got links to talks that I've done in Connecticut or other places around the country. now that my book's been out for 10 years, I've really loosened up trying to protect some of this stuff and just kind of put it out there. And if people want to see what I'm up to, you know, I'm not really worried about making money off all this stuff. I'm just more concerned with access and making sure people can get at it if they want it.
I gave a copy of Epic Tomatoes to one of my best friends, Tom Campbell, who fills in for me occasionally, was my general manager for years at WPTF. But he loved it so much that he bought a bunch of them and gave them to relatives and friends. So it's the Bible of tomato tomato
very
growing.
Gratifying to hear, very gratifying to hear, and I'm really appreciative for, you know, all the friends I've made through the years and the support that I've gotten. And maybe my secondary newsflash is I am writing that third book now that I'm doing less. Well, I'm doing less vegetable gardening, but I'll be doing a lot of flower gardening in our backyard. But writing, getting that book done and getting it self-published by the end of the year so that I can check that one off my list. Other than that, I'm enjoying ACC basketball and doing a lot of hiking and kayaking.
Well, that's good.
Craig,
so you're staying
I've
in shape.
I've wondered, what does Craig do with the good earth other than – and tomatoes, and you mentioned
he walks on it.
You mentioned vegetables, and you
as
mentioned
long as
flowers,
I can, Mike.
Yeah, buddy.
So you need to try some zinnias in the not zinnias, but in the mountains. My mother used to grow these fantastically. I think zinnias are the easiest things in the world to grow.
And boy, when you mix those colors and have a big mass of them, they are gorgeous.
Yeah. I have about 50 seedlings up and growing. People have sent me all kinds of different ones. And last year, we found that they were the flower in the garden that really carried things through in the late summer. And the monarchs were going for the orange zinnias, which we don't know if that was an anecdotal thing, a lucky thing, or whether, you know, orange monarchs are attracted to orange flowers. But we got to sit in our deck and, you know, and then they form seeds, and the goldfinches come and eat those. Just a fantastic, as you say, very easy flower to grow, I think.
Right.
Well, I want to back that up about orange flowers. I have a lot of Mexican sunflowers.
Yeah.
They have the flower that looks like it's just pure orange.
Yeah.
And sometimes I've counted as many as 30 to 40 monarchs on there at a time, and they're orange.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Maybe
Mexican
there is
sunflower.
Something to that, then. I do want to get some butterfly weed out there, I think, Asclepias, because that draws the monarch, and they eat the leaves and build their form their chrysalis on the branches. So we need to do a little better job getting natives in our garden and getting more pollinators. And so that's an ongoing process, and we kind of turn our garden over to different flowers. We're in wildflower time out here, so we go hiking and see all the different spring flowers coming up. You know, how can a gardener not get as excited as a child every single spring? It's just
absolutely
one of those things.
Yeah, especially in North Carolina. I was speaking earlier, there seems to be something new every week that blooms. This week, I'm noticing more of the dogwoods in our area.
Yeah.
So we're very blessed in North Carolina for a lot of reasons.
We have lilacs coming out, tulips, daffodils, redbud, dogwood, and azaleas are all making their showing right now.
Yeah.
Easter seems to be a trigger for lots of color for whatever
reason. It is, sure. And, it's for vegetable growers and a lot of things, people start thinking about many, many vegetables. So, we're going to talk more coming up. Every time you buy a bag of black cow, you're helping the environment. Our process helps to repurpose manure, so it's environmentally friendly and beneficial for your garden and lawn. Now, black cow contains up to 10 times more nutrients and microbes than garden soils, and it helps to retain moisture, too. Your lawn, flower beds, and vegetable gardens will be off to a great start with black cow. Everything grows better with sun, water, and black cow. If you'd like more details, check out their website. It's a good one, blackcow.com. And that cow is spelled with a K, by the way. Speaking of K's, King's Auto Service, one of our longtime sponsors, been in Raleigh since 1946, and they can help your vehicle in all kinds of ways. And there's something that Dean Bailey, the owner and a good friend, has preached for a long time, is to be proactive, just like you would be for your body. You want to go to the doctor, you go get checkups, you need to get checkups and do the right maintenance for your vehicle, and you'll keep it running longer, it'll be happier, it's going to cost you less in the long run, and it's not going to break down if you keep it going. It's it's a good time to check belts, hoses, fluids, always good for that. Check the brakes. Brakes are important. Check the tread depth of your tires for maximum handling. And if you have a hybrid vehicle, they have certified hybrid technicians at King's that are ready to diagnose, give you available options for a high-voltage battery pack replacement for less than the dealer will charge for the replacement. Usually, that's going to be around 150,000 miles or so. So call King's on Monday. You can also find them at 1039 North West Street in downtown Raleigh. You're listening to the WPTF Weekend Gardener. We got more coming up here on WPTF. Back on WPTF with the Weekend Gardener, Mike Rayleigh here, along with Rufus Edmondson. We're at Handpick Nursery in Johnston County near Benson. It's a Benson address. We're on Ennis Road near McGee's Crossroads, and not far from Stevenson Barbecue, I might say. That's one of the more. I don't think I can today, but we had a great time last time, didn't we?
We certainly did.
Yeah. So, every time you buy a bag of black cow, you're helping the environment. They're have quite a process. It helps repurpose manure. You know all about that, right?
We know all about that.
We know all about that on this show. And in your past career, you certainly did.
I'm not wearing my boots, though.
Yeah. I'm not either. I have my pants legs rolled up. But, it's beneficial to your garden and lawn, and black cow contains up to 10 times more nutrients and microbes than garden soils, and it helps to retain moisture, too. Your lawn, flower beds, and vegetable gardens will be off to a great start with black cow. Everything grows better with sun, water, and black cow. For more details, check their website, blackcow.com. That's blackcow, KOW.com. Craig LaHoulier, tomato guru, is with us today, and we're going to be heading to the farmer's market in a moment. I wanted to, Craig, if you don't mind, we'll get in a couple of callers that have been waiting a while.
And our friend Steve.
And Steve is with us out here. We're getting backed up, Steve. So Janet is with us. Janet, good morning. You're on WPTF.
Good morning.
Yes, ma'am. How can we help you today?
Yeah. I'm going to take you off your subject, but I need some help with my Encore azaleas. They some of them are 2 years old, some are 3 years old, and they're slowly starting to die.
Well, I wonder if, normally they are very, very resilient, unless you have disturbed the roots or something has disturbed the roots, like a vole, like voles, for instance. Have you checked to see if the plant is loose in the ground, if you can move it around, or it feels like it wants to come out of the ground, or... That's a possibility.
Yeah. What happens, they grew, they got taller, but then slowly they started, the leaves at the bottom started dying off. They got some leaves around the top.
Yeah. Are they planted in a well-drained area?
Yes, because, some of them aren't. some of them, I'm wondering if that could be.
Yeah, that's a possibility. Craig, I'm sure you can jump in here, and Rufus. Most plants don't like wet feet, but azaleas usually work pretty well. Do you grow encore azaleas up there?
We have a few, and you know, I think you may have had the idea about root damage somehow. The other thing we found just with azaleas in general is a few branches may get nipped a little bit, and then you have to trim them off, but they're usually pretty foolproof. So I think you're right. I think it may be a drainage issue or a root damage issue.
Yeah, I have several encore azaleas. I've never had any problem with them. They are growing like crazy, and they bloom. It seems like they bloom all fall, and
yeah.
a good time of the spring.
Yeah, they bloom ever since we planted them, but it's just like I said, just gradually. So should I just raise them up from where they are?
Well, if they are in a area that does not drain well, I would move them at some point. Fall is probably a better time to do that.
Okay.
But you certainly don't want them to sit there and drown. But I'd also check to see if the plant is stable, and if the roots are not growing properly, if they've been cut, then the plant's going to kind of move around.
Right.
And you might see some tiny holes about the size of a quarter.
Yeah, I know what it is.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'll try that. But some of the ones that are in the same area aren't dying, so I don't know.
Yeah, well, be thankful for them and you know, service the others, figure out. I'd say you could take a sample to a garden center, but just having a dead leaf is not going to, or brown leaf is not going to
you
always
might be
tell them, unless
to,
it's an insect.
Yeah. You might be better off to just go ahead and get you some new azaleas for those places, because there's something wrong with those, and I just don't believe that you're going to come out in the end making them come back.
Yeah.
Right. All right.
Please keep us updated on this. We'd like to know. And I'm sorry you had to wait so long.
Oh, that's okay. I was just listening on the phone rather than on my radio.
I know, but I don't want to give you a cauliflower ear.
That's okay. Thank you for...
Thank you. Craig, Rufus, y'all have anything to add to that?
No, not really. And, you know, it may be wise to just be carefully dig one up, because azaleas aren't too fussy. If you get all of the roots, you could just get it out of the ground and examine the root zone. And
right.
If everything looks kind of good, you could just maybe work in a little bit of, a coarse rock. I know there's some products that tend to...
Yeah, yeah, Permatil, certainly.
Yeah, that type of thing, and then just get back in. And, you know, the other thing would just be make sure you're feeding it with a food that's on the acidic side. But I don't think that would be a brown leaf thing. That sounds more like frost damage or insect, or like you said, root damage or things like that.
Yeah. All right. Marcus is with us. Marcus, thank you for waiting so long. How can we help you here before we go to Miss Monica?
Hi. A quick comment on Rufus's blue talks, and then a tomato question. If you're talking about blue plants, you have to include the blueberry from North Carolina and the Bergaw Blueberry Festival for a great time if you haven't been there before.
It is. Are you from Bergaw?
No, I went to high school with Boone. With Rufus. We're the original Cabbage Patch Kids.
I've been to the Blueberry Festival in the Bergaw.
I bet you have.
Absolutely
I bet
beautiful.
You speechified there, too, haven't you?
I rode back in a car that was full of blueberries. I thought I was going to be drowned in blueberries.
That's okay. You can eat your way out.
I thought that was really wonderful.
Yeah. I love, Bergaw, heading down 40 and it says is Bergaw. That means you're not far from the beach. And it's a nice little town too. So, that blue is definitely the color for that. That's a nice dark blue.
Yeah, it is. It is. Tomato question. My neighbor down the street is the best gardener I ever met. He throws forests of tomatoes every year. And he told me, and it worked. You get a good plant, strip it two-thirds, leave about a third green at the top, put it in a deep hole, put black cow or some rich compost in the bottom, scoop of that, and then you drop in, I think, three or four things. You drop in a teaspoon of Epsom salt, a teaspoon of crab shell, high phosphate, 10-10-100 if you can get it, but high phosphate fertilizer, and then a baby aspirin.
Well, I'll be doggone.
Put it, and I understand the other three, but why do you use a baby aspirin? Is that just...
Well, we got, Craig has a doctorate in chemistry. Craig, what is it? About an aspirin.
I do too, by the way. So go.
Oh through. My goodness! We got a lot of
salicylic acid. Literate.
Yep, salicylic acid indeed. Well, you know, my view on these things of tomato growing are: if you put 100 gardeners in a room that love tomatoes, they're all going to have their own little hints and tricks to make them do well. What I've not seen, and I've said this to a lot of people, are the comparative studies, the control studies that exactly show what Epsom salts, what salicylic acid, all these things do. I have a feeling he has very good soil, and he probably tends them very well throughout the year. So as I tell the people that come to see my talks, if what you're doing is working, keep doing it. I like to share what I do that works, but I never dissuade anybody from doing what works. Because if you think, that amount of Epsom salts within the first rain or two will completely wash away. That aspirin will dissolve within about a week, and that will completely wash away. So I think it's more of a case of what he's doing throughout the season and his soil quality that's having him succeed really well.
Very good. I bet we got two chemists on with us. All these smart people.
Two lawyers.
Yeah, we got a lawyer.
Listen, lawyers, there's got to be a joke about here somewhere.
Yeah.
Magnesium.
Yeah.
So Epsom salt is a magnesium source, which is a nutrient they need.
Yep.
And the shells prevent a infestation that tomatoes get, or ameliorate it at any rate. And obviously the fertilizer, putting it deep, supposedly gives you a stronger stem so that it's easier to support the plant. And so those things make sense. The aspirin, I don't understand. And if you plant it deep, it will wash away, but it'll be there longer. You'll get more use out of that material.
Yeah. I plant all my plants in straw bales, and they just chew up and create nice compost, and then I feed regularly with just a balanced plant food. And I got 35 pounds per plant last year, so it's... A lot of it, I think for people to succeed with tomatoes, if they spend time with them, look at the plants, react to what they're telling them, when they need water, when they need more food, it's not the crop that you just plant and then go on vacation, come back in a month and hope it's going to be great. So I would suspect your friend spends time with his plants and really cares for them and, removes insects when he finds them. And you do that, and I think you've got a fighting chance at having a really, really good season. The weather, of course, changes everything because there's so many variables in terms of what the temperatures are going to be like and how much rain. It makes it endlessly fascinating, and there are no tomato experts. There are only people that are on the journey.
Well, Marcus, thank you so much for calling. Good question.
Great.
Yeah, really good question.
Have a great day, and remember the Blueberry Festival.
Amen, brother. Amen. What's the date for that? What's the date for it again?
I absolutely don't know.
Okay. But it's just, it'll be this summer. Maybe June. I don't know. Thank you. But, look it up. That's what I always told my kids when they were growing. Look it up. Look it up.
Google
I can't tell you everything.
Now you just say Google it.
Google it. Yeah. So, Miss Monica is with us from the State Farmers Market. Monica, we're almost out of time here, but I want to, we want to talk to Chloe Taylor. We got all kinds of folks here. You doing all right? You've been running around like a chicken with a head cut off, haven't you, this morning?
It's that time of year. It's busy, and that's the way we like it. So, and a beautiful day on top of that, and so much going on at the market today. It's definitely a beautiful spring day, and it looks like spring. We have plants and flowers galore, all kinds of vegetable plants, bedding plants, hanging baskets, herbs, shrubbery, trees, herbs, potted plants, all kinds of things. So just in time for Easter, so come out and shop around and get all those plants that you might need. We have a lot of great produce, more strawberries coming in, as well as, you know, all the cabbage and collards, spring onions. We're seeing greenhouse tomatoes, a few greenhouse cucumbers popping in, and baked goods, cakes, pies, jams, jellies. We have our Triangle Potters Guild here today for their
Oh, boy.
Sales. Yes, you can find them down at the end of the farmer's area where the white tent normally is. They're set up down there, and just a great selection of beautiful pottery. We also have a little pop-up spread throughout the market with some of our craft vendors that are here. So you can bring those Easter baskets and fill them up with a lot of great things here at the market.
We shall. I'm fill them up with biscuits from the farmer's market restaurant. That's what I'm going to do.
There you go. I think the Easter Bunny should make lots of stops here.
I think so, too.
can I say hi to Monica?
I was getting ready to say.
Yeah.
Hey, Craig.
I miss you guys. It's been years.
Yes. Maybe we can get you out here sometime. It would be great. We would love to see you.
Hey, Craig, Monica is the manager of the farmer's market now.
Well, congratulations.
Yeah.
You were mentioning strawberries. I want to make a pavlova tomorrow, but in Hendersonville, the strawberries aren't in yet. So, gosh, I'd need to make a four-hour drive out there.
Yeah.
Yes. They're a little early, which we're fortunate because we have some of our growers that have been extending their seasons with the tunnel-grown berries. But these are actually ones that have just, you know, started coming in your regular field production. And way the weather's been lately, they're a little early. So we hope to have a long, healthy season of strawberries. Looking forward to it. It's always a fun time when the berries are in.
And, Monica, we're almost out of time, but you're open 7 days a week, except for Christmas.
That's right, 7 days a week. Tomorrow our restaurants are open normal hours, so bring the family out, enjoy a Easter meal here, shop around, support all of our local farmers and other vendors. Stop by our market shop for all the great things there, and the Hunter Pork Center, Supersod, both of our restaurants, and just great time to come out, bring the family, enjoy the beautiful weather, and I wish everyone a happy Easter.
Happy Easter to you. We had Dean and his wife, one of your church mates. He brought us some wine. Dean Barber. They are fine people. Fine people.
They certainly are.
They love you.
They do, and they love listening to you guys. Dean's always telling me he's always listening, and he loves to hear you guys on the air every week.
Well, I'm glad we finally got you on. I know you're busy, and thank you so much.
It's fine. Come see us, and I got to say it. Go Pack.
Go Pack, yep. That's good. Thank you, Monica.
You too. Take care.
Bye. And, Craig, we got a young lady here who is at Handpicked Nursery. She's the houseplant expert, Chloe Taylor. Hey, Chloe.
Hi.
So, first things, we don't use a lot of water on plant. We don't overwater anything, do we?
No, we don't. That is definitely the last thing you'd want to do to your houseplants.
Yeah, and I'm sure Craig and Rufus would that's something we all preach. Don't overwater anything. But you have a lot of succulents here. And
we
that's
do.
Something that if you haven't tried it, people should.
Yes, we have a ton of succulents. Myself, I own about 2 or 3 cacti, but I have over 300 houseplants in my house. So it's definitely,
Well, you say you're a little bit obsessed.
My husband would say that, yes. I'd say it's healthy. It's a
you
healthy
don't want, You don't have any that jump out and get you, do you? Like the
No. I don't
like
have...
Venus flytrap.
No, they'll kill the flies in your house, though.
That's right.
That's why you want them.
That's right.
Yeah, it's crazy. You don't know it unless you're in the houseplant community, but the community in North Carolina, we have plant groups in Raleigh and Fayetteville that are on Facebook, and we have thousands of people.
I bet. And you have quite an assortment in this huge greenhouse here of plants, and this is Do you have favorites? I mean, if your house is filled, you
yeah,
probably
I
don't, just like all of them.
Well, they're like my children. You can't, you know, you can't say you have a favorite, but I definitely do have a favorite. It's called a variegated elephant ear, and I actually have one here.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so they get super big in the summer. You can plant them in the ground, and they'll multiply like crazy.
Beulah grass, you know, the grasses, the ornamental grasses, and, you know, the elephant ears are very popular in the landscape now, and that is so much fun. Mm. Y'all, thank you so much, Chloe, for coming by and talking
to
us.
Yeah, of course. I know you guys don't have a lot of time left,
but
I'm so happy to have been a part of it.
Yeah, and you got all kinds of stuff going on out today, food trucks and plenty of plants inside and out for people.
Yes, I definitely recommend anyone who hasn't stopped by to definitely come and do so and come support all the local vendors we have here today.
And look at Reebok's tulip acreage out there. It looks like Holland.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely crazy. I definitely recommend people to come and check it out while they're still blooming.
Yeah. Thank you, Chloe.
Yes, thank you, guys.
Chloe Taylor, the house plant expert. We only have, a minute and a half or so, Craig. We want to get you on soon to join us again as we start getting more into the tomato growing season. Any other quick tips?
I would say just keep an eye on your plants, keep them healthy when you get them out, and then I'll join you guys hopefully in a few weeks or a month or so when things are in the ground, and we'll kind of take questions through the season.
Your Epic Tomatoes is available a lot of places, including Amazon, and your growing vegetables and straw bales is available too.
That's available everywhere, and that is actually the technique that I've gone even more towards compared to containers, because it just does so well here. But
yeah.
I really appreciate spending time with you guys, and thanks, everyone, for listening. And, send your questions to nctomatoman@gmail.com if you didn't get a chance to ask them today.
Fabulous. Thank you so much, Craig. We'll be in touch.
Have a great Easter, guys. Take care.
Happy Easter to you and yours.
Bye-bye.
By Craig LaHoulier, the Epic Tomatoes author, and has a doctorate in chemistry. He worked for a big company out here for many years. He's settled in the western part of the state now. Brother Rufus, we'll see you next week.
Amen.
Thank you, Jason. Thank you, Jeff. Thank you, Mr. Hooks.
Be the mayor and all. Dog thinks you are.
Yes, right. We'll see you next week.